Good afternoon, and thank you for being here at the City Club of Chicago. I'm Dan Gibbons, the CEO of the City Club, and on behalf of our board chair, who you heard from a few minutes ago, Jackie Robinson Ivy, as well as Omar Dagestani, Jose Sanchez, and Francis Cow, who I believe is here. On behalf of our Board of Governors, welcome to the City Club. Welcome back to the City Club. An amazing crowd we have here today. And of course, for the one and only speaker, Chris Welch. Please do me a favor and hold your applause, because this is a long list of sponsors, but they each deserve recognition, because we would not be here able to provide this platform and share it with all these great people were it not for your sponsorship. So it does not go unnoticed. We appreciate it. So I'm gonna go through this relatively quickly, because you all want to hear from the speaker. The Illinois House Democrats, Loyola University Chicago Rambler Brotherhood Project, and say hello to some of the Rambler brothers. They are here, our next generation of leaders. Stiefel, Loyola University Chicago, Northern Trust, of course, White & Co., and Pat Peoples Gas is here. Welcome back, Peoples. Comprehensive Construction Company, the Chicago Federation of Labor, Bob Reiter, where are you? There you are. Good to see you back, Bob. The Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. We just had President Kerry Steele here last week. As, by the way, I mentioned Loyola, we had President Reed, the new president of Loyola, was here just last week. And some great speeches and conversations. JLD Consulting Group, MPEA. It takes a village, family of charter schools. Fifth Third Bank, I saw you on the way in. ComEd is here. Thank you. The Chicago Teachers Union is here. EXP is here, the Illinois Network of Charter Schools. The Big Shoulders Fund, Globetrotters Engineering, Ardmore Roderick, Hope Chicago, Navy Pier, thank you, Marilyn, United Airlines, where are you? Berglund Construction, and Christopher B. Burke Engineering, welcome back. So thank you to all those sponsors. Please join me in thanking them. It is important. It's a very important part of City Club. So next time you see a good speaker coming up, buy a table. It means something to us. Your membership means an awful lot to us. We've had some great programs, but we are not able to do this without your membership and without your support, and it goes very much appreciated. We also, of course, are not able to provide these programs without this incredible mix of people from all these different great sectors in Chicago. So please join me in welcoming a sampling of some folks who are here. And I'm going to start with one of our favorite supporters, President Tony Preckwinkle. President Preckwinkle has been so good to City Club, and she's doing such a great job at the county. Thank you. We look forward to having you back here. The City Clerk, Anna Valencia, is here. Anna, thank you for being here. And there are so many, obviously a very full room, so many elected officials. Could I ask, if you're an elected official, if you're able to stand, please do so. I know we have aldermen. I know we have state reps. I know we have state senators. I believe there are a couple of mayors in the room. Please stand. If you're an elected official, stand and give us a wave if you're able to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of your service. I'm not going to try to acknowledge everyone individually. We'd be here all day, but we do appreciate your dedication and your service to our city, our state. UIC Chancellor Miranda is here, another City Club speaker. Hi, Chancellor. Welcome back. Let's see, Cassandra Rose from the Illinois Tollway is here. Someone who we'd like to have come and speak soon. Kirk Dillard from the RTA, one of our all-time favorites. Kirk Dillard, great public servant. Rich Gamble is here. I think Glenn Eden is here as well, both from Choose Chicago. Thank you for all that. What a great summer we had, right? And you all had so much to do with that. So did so many people in this room, but thank you to Chicago. Pastor Chris Harris from the Right Star Foundation, thank you, Pastor. Always good to see you here. Deborah Witzberg, Inspector General, welcome back. Another great City Club speaker, as is Marilyn Gardner from Navy Pier. And Aaron Ailman is here. Kimberly Bears is here. These are all great City Club speakers. Thank you for being here. Council General Michael Fountain is here. Michael helped us go global when we had our first head of state here with the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. So this is, as I said, a great sampling. Andy Zopp is here right in front of me. Hi, Andy. Welcome back. This is such a great sampling of folks that it's worth the mention, as I always say, because that's what City Club is, and we're doing things. We're bringing all of you together to make a difference, and I've told stories that I hear. Please tell me when you see me or Jackie or any one of our team, Amanda's here, tell us about what you've done, what you've been able to do because of City Club. There were a couple stories last week I was totally impressed with. A woman who I had not met came and said, you know, because I came here for a program, we were able to hear someone speak, Sheriff Dart, and they ended up funding his entire iPad program it was millions of dollars of an investment. And that was because they met here and heard some of what he was doing. And that's just moving the needle forward in a big way. And I don't hear all those stories. So please tell me and share that with me. And also share your ideas for things that you want to hear about and people that you want to have on this stage, because we appreciate the ability to, it's an honor really to have this platform and to be able to share it with all these great folks. So thank you for indulging me in all that. I will ask, before we introduce our speaker, if you could, if anyone has a question, we do have the one and only Shia Kapos here today. Shia, thank you. She is going to be helping lead the conversation with Speaker Welch, and we do have the blue forms on the tables. Please keep those questions coming during the conversation. Just hold them up. We'll make sure to get them up to Shia so that she can factor them into the conversation. And thank you, Shia. I think I always get at least about five or six texts a morning after everybody reads Politico about 7:45 in the morning. And I imagine everybody in this room is one of those readers. So thanks for all your efforts and for being here with us today. And thank you, especially Speaker Welch. He spoke here about a year and some ago. I wish we had him every few months because it was an inspiring speech. And if it's a conversation today, so I think we're going to get a little more out of him even. But when you get a few minutes, check out his speech. It's more relevant today than it was a year ago. He talked a lot about democracy and civility, right? And just in this discourse, this conversation that we need to be having in a civil manner, something we're proud to be able to do here at City Club. But he really elevated the conversation last time around, so I'm looking forward to today. And with that, I would love to introduce him. Emmanuel Chris Welch served as state representative in the Illinois General Assembly since 2013. He made history in January of 2021 by becoming the first black lawmaker to hold the position of Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. Joining him in this conversation, as I mentioned, is Shia. And we're really going to in for a treat. And I'd like to welcome them both to the City Club stage. Thank you for being here, Speaker Welch and Shia Kapos.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Of course. You all right?
Yeah.
All
right. Wow.
Whew, that's bright.
I know.
It's not an interrogation, is it?
Not an interrogation.
Okay.
I will turn on my tape recorder because I want to make some news so I can write about it in the morning. So I want you to make some news so I can write about it in the morning. Thank you. You are just back from the Democratic National Convention. Can you talk a little bit about the most exciting moment that you had while you were there?
Well, I think we are all back. I mean, I look around this room. How do we do for the Democratic National Convention? I mean, wow. I mean, what an exciting week. I think Chicago showed up and showed out, and we all had a great time, and we sent our ticket off to really go on to victory. I think my favorite moment, because I had my wife and kids there Thursday night for the vice president's acceptance speech.
Oh.
And they didn't disappoint, you know, and my kids said their favorite part was the balloon drop.
It was all of our favorite.
Yeah, but I loved her speech, and so just happy to be there.
I know this is about you, but I was on the floor Monday night when Kamala Harris came out, and I have never been, and it was a surprise, remember, to everybody, and it was, I had never been in a place where, like, the whole crowd just like, whoa!
That was a big moment.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy, yes. Well, so, we've got all that energy post-convention. In spite of that, though, you have Kamala Harris, Donald Trump tied. So they are very focused on swing states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. They don't really care about Illinois. They know Illinois is a blue state. So how that makes it hard for you, I presume, to get voters to the polls. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I think we get voters to the polls with people in this room, people getting out, knocking on doors, talking to folks. If knocking on doors is not your thing, picking up the phone and making calls, you don't like to talk to people, we have an office that you can come and sit in and you can write postcards and letters. There's something for everyone. I mean, we all should be engaged in this election. You know, Dan talked about my speech 2 years ago. I mean, it is just as relevant today as it was 2 years ago because Donald Trump is very much a threat to our democracy. And if this doesn't get you up off your couch and want to get out and participate, I don't know what will. But I'll tell you, since the convention, I mean, we're seeing a lot of excitement. People are excited about the Harris Walz ticket, and you're seeing it at her rallies.
But are you getting enough energy from that? Because they're not advertising in Illinois. So how do you strategize? How do you get those down-ballot campaigns, you know, on people's radar? And so people go out to vote.
Yeah, and that's certainly the challenge for me as a leader of the House Democratic Caucus. And by the way, I see so many of the House Democratic Caucus members here. Can I ask them all to stand? I want to give them a big shout out. The greatest caucus in the world, the great 78. I wouldn't be in this chair if it wasn't for these great people. And so I'm just thankful for them every day. And honestly, I don't think people understand how hard they all work. And there's a few that could work a little harder.
I want to know who those are.
You know, because, you know, my mantra. What's my mantra, guys?
Winners do the work.
I mean, and that's, you know, the way we get them to focus on down ballot is we have to do the work. And we have to put in the hours. You know, knocking on doors and talking to folks 30, 40, 50 hours a week. And we have 48 days to go. And honestly, we need to, you know, that old sports saying is leave it on the field. We have to leave everything on the field. You don't want to wake up the morning after and say, what else could I have done? I should have done this. Leave it all on the field and put in the time and we all wake up victorious.
I know you have told me and you've told others that you hope to pick up seats, right?
Did I say that?
I think so. The Republicans say the same thing. You know, everybody's feeling very positive that they'll be able to pick up some seats in the House. My question is, okay, Democrats already redrew the maps, so you were able to get more seats last time. You have more money to get people out. So why push to flip even more seats? Why go to that effort to make your caucus, which is already a supermajority, even a super majority? Like, Does that make it more difficult for you to manage?
Well, you've asked a lot in that one question. let me kind of break it down.
Okay.
First of all, as a Democratic leader in this state, I think my job is to help elect Democrats. You know, I love partnering with great leaders like our Cook County Democratic Party leader, Tony Preckwinkle, and so many of the Democratic leaders in this room. Our job is to elect Democrats. And that's what I want to do when I wake up in the morning, is elect Democrats, people who share our values, people who share our beliefs. Now, we may differ from time to time, but that's a reflection of the diversity in the Democratic Party. And we have to embrace that. You can't have one without the other. Diversity is going to bring you differences of opinions. And I think part of the fun and joy of being a Democrat is enjoying sometimes having those discussions and those disagreements. And we have to embrace that.
Well, then, was it a joy at the end of the spring session when you had to do a vote three times to pass the budget because Democrats were disagreeing, and now there could be even more Democrats disagreeing even more? I mean, how do you? It's like herding cats, it seems like.
Well, let me put it a different way. And so that's sausage making. You saw sausage making, but in terms of Democrats and our disagreements, I love the House of Representatives. I love being in the House of Representatives. The folks you saw stand up earlier, they love being in the House of Representatives. It is designed by our Constitution to be the voice of the people. We are that's why we run every 2 years. We are out there. We're knocking on doors. We know what people are thinking and saying at their kitchen tables, because we're the ones out there every 2 years knocking on those doors. And as a leader, I want that to show up in the process that we have. And I believe that you share power, and you share that with your rank and file members. You embrace those disagreements, and you let it show up in the process, because the process is always going to win. You have to trust that process. And what you saw at the end of session is Democrats, yes, we are strong and united when we need to be, and there's times when we're going to have disagreements, but that's because of the diversity within our own party, and you have to embrace that. If we were in here and everything was being passed unanimously by Democrats, there was no discussion, there was no disagreements, I think we would be having a different discussion. You know, you would talk about the iron fist of the speaker, and you know, there's no democracy there. Democracy is on display every day in the House.
It's getting close. Like, if you get more seats, that's going to be a lot of Democrats running the show.
Well, I think what you're seeing is a reflection of what's going on in our country. You know, you're seeing folks leave the other party because who's at the top of their party is just not a reflection of them. Their positions when it comes to workers' rights, their positions when it comes to women's rights, their positions when it comes to civil rights, that's not a reflection of a whole lot of people's values in this country. And so they're leaving that party and joining our party and making us even more diverse. You want me to say no to diversity? That goes against everything we stand for, and we want to embrace that.
Kind of along those lines, in other parts of the country, progressives have been suffering some defeats. Cori Bush in Missouri, Jamal Bowman in New York. Do you see the progressive movement in Illinois having pivoting in some way? What do you expect to see in November?
So I think one of the things that's extremely important, particularly when you are a member of a House of Representatives, is you have to represent your districts. Again, one of the reasons why you have to embrace that, those differences, because people have to vote their districts. And to vote your district, you have to stay in touch with your district. You have to do the work. And so I don't know Cori Bush, I don't know Jamal Bowman, but one of the things I think you have to ask is, were they voting their districts? Were they in tune with what was going on at home? And that's one of the reasons why we always say to our members, you know, get out there and knock on those doors and make sure, you know, your neighbor at least votes for you. you know, because you got to stay in touch with your district. And if you lose touch, they'll get rid of you.
Do you feel that there are tensions within the Democratic caucus with the progressive movement growing?
There's differences in our caucus. We have, I think I've lost count of the number of sub-caucuses that we have. We have a green caucus. Do we have a purple caucus? We have a mod caucus, a progressive caucus. We have differences of opinions within the House Democratic Caucus. But one thing they are very good at, they recognize that diversity is our strength, and we're going to have lots of those discussions, but they are very good at recognizing where our real power comes from, and that's from our unity. You know, there's a rule that I have had for the 4 years I've been speaker, that we need at least 60 Democrats to agree on some controversial issues to move things forward. You're talking about some disagreements you saw at the end of May, but you saw 60 Democrats pass a balanced budget for the sixth year in a row. You saw 60 Democrats remove the grocery tax and make groceries more affordable. You saw 60 Democrats do the things that working people across this state care about. That's what we're talking about here, a united Democratic Party standing strong and representing all of the folks all across this state.
Have you, I'm switching gears here, but sticking on progressives, have you talked to Mayor Brandon Johnson about how you operate and how he might operate in his city council?
Stella, did you know she was going to ask me that question? Listen, leadership is hard. It's hard work.
It is.
And I also think being the mayor of the city of Chicago and being speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Illinois, those are two totally different jobs. You know, and, you know, we have conversations all the time. We're friends. We've been friends a long time. Of course, I've given him advice from time to time, but I'm going to keep that advice private. He's given me advice from time to time. That's what friends do. Sometimes we agree, and sometimes we disagree. And I will tell you, we agree more than we disagree.
Very good. Let's switch to legislation. I had a piece the other day about some legislative proposals that the General Assembly, House and Senate, might pick up in the veto session and or next year. One of the biggest ones is consolidating the transportation agencies. Can you talk about, will that happen in veto, or are you looking in next year? And what do you think will happen?
Well, I saw you sitting next to Kirk Dillard at the table.
He's taking notes, too.
And he slid you that question. Kirk, we don't know the answer to that yet. We have a working group on that. And they're really just beginning their work. And I honestly think we have to let the process play out. We have to talk to all of the advocates and, you know, listen to the folks that are going to be impacted by this. This is a big deal. And we have some great leaders that are going to be running our working group around that space, and Evadina Delgado and Camp Buckner. They are experts in this issue. I really trust them around this issue, and I do believe we're going to get it right because we're going to listen to everyone involved.
So probably not in veto, but maybe in the spring you might address.
Oh gosh, definitely not in veto session.
Okay.
This is probably an end of May issue.
Okay, with three different votes to get it through.
It's possible.
What about pensions is another issue that's come up. Is that something you can talk about, whether you guys will address that in veto or in spring?
Well, I think it's too early to know what we're going to do in veto session, if anything. And certainly in the spring is way too early to know specifics. But there's a lot of folks in this room. I know there's conversations that's been going on all summer, all fall, around the Tier 2 conversation. Folks are being educated on the issue. And, you know, I saw Chairwoman Kifowit. Is she still here? Chairwoman Kifowit's been holding hearings and talking to folks. We're going to continue to listen. And when the time is right, she's going to give me that wink. We'll get something done.
What then are the three issues that you could say that you might pick up during the veto session?
I don't know if I can name three issues.
It's only 7 weeks away. It's less than, you know.
We're so laser focused on November 5th. Anybody here talking about veto session yet?
Yes.
Besides Shia and Tom? You know, honestly, you know, after November 5th, you know, we have a couple of weeks of veto session scheduled. We'll get there.
Okay. I'm going to ask it anyway. I know you have said that there is no appetite for helping fund proposals for sports stadiums, Bears, White Sox, Red Stars. Did that stop the conversations? What's happening with that?
No, there's conversations still going on. I know members are having conversations with representatives of the White Sox and the Bears and the Red Stars, and they've gone to soccer games and baseball games, and they probably went to the home opener of the Bears. There's conversations being had, but as we sit here today, I'm not aware that anything has changed the environment or the appetite for taxpayer-funded stadiums. You know, what I'm hearing out there when I talk to people is they're worried about, you know, their grocery bill, or they're worried about, you know, paying their mortgage, and they're talking about the things that impact folks at their kitchen tables. They're not talking about stadiums.
The Sun-Times had an interesting piece today, or last night, about the Sox are still trying to woo everybody to kind of come on board, and they had a pop-up baseball game. I wondered if you were there as a former baseball player. Did you play?
You know, I couldn't miss the opportunity to see what this diamond looked like.
Okay.
I was there. It was a beautiful baseball field with a great view. But again, you know, that doesn't change the conversation about who pays for it. You know, it's certainly something that I think would be a great economic development project for the city of Chicago to have a 78th neighborhood. I think 78 is great, by the way. A 78th neighborhood would be great for Chicago. But again, I think when it comes to a baseball stadium, that might be something private investors might want to look at.
Very good. A few people, we'll go to some questions in the audience, but before that, a few people have sent in questions that kind of dovetail with what I've been asking about the veto session. Your leadership has resulted in increased funding for gender-based violence services and the passage of Karina's bill through the House of Representatives. What more should Illinois do to prevent and address gender-based violence?
Anything and everything we possibly can. And I'm just so grateful to have so much talent in the House of Representatives. And one of the people that I lean on very heavily, who gives great guidance on issues like that. I know I saw her as well. Representative Kelly Cassidy was here. Kelly, stand up for a second. Kelly, let's give her a round of applause. Kelly's been leading what we call our Dobbs working group. And that conversation hasn't just been centered around women's reproductive health. It's been centered around those issues as well. And, you know, we're going to continue to look and see what we haven't addressed. And if there's some things that we can get done, we'll get it done.
Very good. What are your priorities? What are your priorities for veto? You have kind of told me nothing's planned, but do you have a dream of what you can be doing?
Not yet.
You're the speaker, you know. You're the guy in charge.
I'm still dreaming about November 5th.
I know I heard that there's talk about tightening up police reform in wake of the Sonia Massie killing in Springfield. Is that something you'd support?
There's been a lot of conversation around a lot of topics. Here's a reality, though. You know, veto session is 6 days, back-to-back weeks. And if anything, you're really going to spend veto session getting things in position for what could possibly be a lame duck session in January.
Yeah.
If not in lame duck session, you can get something done in regular session. But it's going to be really tough to get a lot done in six veto session days.
How can I convince my editors to send me to Springfield unless I know that there's something to cover?
We'll figure out a way.
Okay. Another question. As leader of the House, how do you balance your agenda, the priorities of the Legislative Black Caucus, and the House overall? It kind of goes to what we were talking before. Do you find your own priorities taking a back seat?
Yeah, I think, particularly as the leader of a caucus, it's not about me, it's about we. And you can never make it personal. It has to be about what's good for the collective. And so it's important that, you know, we treat each other with love and respect. And that starts with listening to one another and putting processes in place that I know they will tell you they hate long caucus meetings, but they hate them. But you have to let those processes play out and listen to what's going on so that you can hear what the priorities of the collective is. And believe it or not, so much information comes in over that period of time between January and May. The priorities always come together. And they don't necessarily know that they agree on things, but we see it and we put it all together and it always comes together.
I know you are a very competitive person, though, and you were trained under Michael Madigan. How do you not get what you want in there? Like, have you ever had to step back and say, I guess I'm going to lose this one?
Well, I'm still a member. I have opinions. It's what you have to do, though, as a leader, though, you have to be, you don't want to put your opinions out there first, because people will, they won't be honest then. You know, you have to let the process play out and do a lot of listening first. And it's very artful about that too, because really, if I get out there first, it could really take a conversation a whole different way, and that's why I'm very intentional about those working groups that we put together in the House. Let the members work these things out. Let's see what the collective believes. I have opinions. I get to vote.
And did you know,
Tiffany, my chief of staff, is here. Tiffany is she still here? Let's recognize Tiffany Moy, everybody. You know, she literally does make me sit down and record my votes on things. And I go through and I record my votes, and I sometimes say, hey, I'm going to go to the floor. I want to say something on this.
Very good. Do you... did you learn that from Mike Madigan, or did you read a lot? I know you read a lot of management books too. Like, yeah. How did you come to that process? Because that's a hard thing to come to learn.
Yeah. So I never knew I was going to be Speaker of the House. It was not on my bingo card. I was not being mentored by the
former
speaker.
But you all see
speaker.
How he operates, and we all knew, you know, kind of how he operated in a way.
Well, I was there. I sat in the front row. Yeah. I watched everybody. I watched everything. And most folks will tell you I was rarely ever seated in my seat. I was actually right in front of my seat watching everything, because I'm just a junkie like that. I like to watch the process, watch who's talking to who, you know, see the relationships that members have. Now I'm going to tell on myself. You know, I put a big TV in my office, and part of it was because I miss being on the floor and looking out and seeing what was going on. So I put the TV up so I can see who the hell's talking to who. I can see, you know, what groups are forming, particularly what the issue is that's on the board that they're talking about. All of that stuff I learned from, right? And but yes, books are a very big part of it as well. And I didn't know that before becoming speaker, because I didn't know I was going to be speaker, that a lot of these books that I've read before and read since would help shape my style as a leader. But I'm thankful for them, and I think it's important that you constantly learn. And if there's a leadership book that's been written, I probably read it.
Really?
Just because I just think that you always want to continue learning.
And I know you spoke to Speaker Brown, former California Speaker, about being the first black speaker in Illinois, how you manage that?
Yeah, I spoke. That was after I became speaker in 2021. Willie Brown called me and he said, come visit.
Oh, he called you, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went to San Francisco and I visited with him in his law office and we talked for hours. He gave me his book, and so I've read it a couple of different times.
Of course he did, yeah.
Yeah, but now there are, as we sit here today having this conversation, there are 7 black speakers in the country. And I was really proud to bring them all together during the Democratic National Convention for an event that Tekoya put together. Thank you, Tekoya. All right, give her a round of applause, too, because if you were at Black Excellence, you know everything about it was excellence, and the speakers from the other states were, they still haven't stopped talking about it.
Oh,
and
good.
I call them all the time. I ask them for advice. They ask me for advice. It's a very small club, you know, and believe it or not, you know, we have a lot of similarities, a lot of it has to do with managing a caucus, and a lot of the issues are the same.
What makes it different being a black speaker than not a black speaker? Like,
well, I mean, I think race in America matters. I think
I'm asking just, you know, how you how people approach you. Do you feel it's different than if it was somebody else in that position? Like, do you notice the racial dynamics as a black speaker?
I think there's racism in America. Racism still exists in this country, and you know, I can tell you that there are times when you know, I think that race has come into play, but that's been the story of my life.
Yeah.
As a black man in America, not just as speaker, but as a black man in America.
Yeah. I know that we've got lots of questions, but I would like you to revisit how you came to your thinking about, you know, crime and fighting crime from your personal family history. Could you tell people about, you know, how you came to have sisters?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I know that's a big story, but maybe you can do it. Because it shapes who you are.
Yeah. So I think in this role, we're all just, you know, we're shaped by the experiences in our life. I think that's one of the reasons why the diversity in our caucus is so important to embrace, because everyone brings different experiences. You know, growing up in Maywood and Bellwood, I think I saw the mayor of Bellwood here. He's a good friend of mine. Andre Harvey, is Mayor Harvey here? He was in the house. Mayor Harvey is here. Another one of my mayors, Mayor Hoskins, is here from Forest Park. And Mayor Rebo from Westchester, I saw him as well. But your experiences shape you. And I will tell you, a lot of what we've been doing that I'm proud of in the House, particularly around the assault weapons ban. I mean, I grew up in Maywood and Bellwood, and, you know, I've lost friends, I've lost family members to violence. And when I was young, one of my mom's sisters was murdered right in front of our church. You know, I come from a family that had 3 boys. I was the middle of 3 boys. My aunt had 3 girls, and she was single when she was murdered in front of our church. And so my 3 cousins woke up one morning without a mom because of gun violence on the west side of Chicago. And that was about 40 years ago. And my family, my parents took my cousins in, and now they're my sisters. And you went from a family of 5 to a family of 8. My parents didn't make any more money. In fact, sometime after that, my dad lost his union job. And in order to make what he was making at his one union job, he had to go work 2 jobs, you know, just to make the same thing he made at one union job. And so there's a whole lot of things that, you know, happen in your lifetime that shape your views and your values. And the things that you know, we do in the House of Representatives really does matter to me. That's an example of where, you know, I gave my opinion, but I waited till later to give my opinion on the assault weapons ban and why it's important to me, or why, you know, the work of people like Tim Dre is so important to me, because I know exactly what a union means to a person's family. It impacted my family.
Very good. Very powerful. Question from the audience. Talk about large-scale infrastructure, 1-2% Lakeshore Drive transit. How does Illinois bring something home to do these needed things, bring more to do these things? I'm not sure what that says.
Well, there was a lot there.
Sorry, Ed Leonard. I couldn't read that word.
Can we ask him to ask his question?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Does the questioner have to be here, Jackie? All right.
Well,
I think infrastructure is so important. Elect Kamala Harris and Democrats. So we can get another infrastructure bill.
During the DNC, your speaker's ball featured Busta Rhymes. Who would be your dream entertainer to have at a future function?
Oh, man. You know, did you guys know there was a rumor that Ludacris was going to be the entertainer? Did you guys hear that rumor? Tequila would not tell me who the entertainer was. But if it was Ludacris, I would have been really mad if she didn't tell me it was Ludacris, because, man, that would have been a party.
He's a Chicago guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that would have been... So the next speaker's ball will have Ludacris.
Okay. Who is your favorite Chicago-born musical performer?
Favorite Chicago? There's been so many.
This is Christopher Anderson. Chris, where are you?
Yeah. Gosh, there's so many. You got to have Chance get mad at me. You're going to have Common get mad at me. Jennifer Hudson get mad at me. I love everything about Chicago.
There you go. You know?
Smart, yes. So during the convention, everyone thought Beyonce would be here. So that was.
Oh, my daughter's still mad about that.
Really?
She finally told me that's the only reason she came to the convention.
I kept telling my editor, why would Beyonce come and you know, overshadow Kamala? But we had to chase it down anyway. So, well, thank you very much. Very
thank
much
you.
Appreciate you spending time.
I'd like to, we do have two more minutes. I'd like to ask somewhat of a self-serving question from City Club. What issues do we need to be discussing here that maybe we haven't been? You know, last week we talked about gun violence, you know, horrible story to hear about your family and all these different issues that affect different people, but there are so many on the horizon that we may not be ready to address. Where should we be looking out forward?
Well, Dan, first of all, let me begin by answering that question by saying, first of all, you as the CEO, Jackie as the chair of the board, Amanda, all of you are doing such a spectacular job. You know, even when I'm not here, I'm paying attention to what you're doing. And so the conversations here do matter. And I think the conversation around firearms was important. I think conversations around pensions and maybe stadiums or something could, you know, help guide us. If that's going to change the environment, let the people tell us that that's going to change the environment. But it's these types of settings that, you know, we do pay attention to and listen to what people have to say.
Great. Thank you. And I do appreciate, especially when you're talking about listening and not prescribing solutions, you know, listening. I mean, that's government, right? And that's such a refreshing perspective of how I believe, whether it's Democrat or Republican. We understand you're a Democrat. City Club is not partisan, not biased. We're Chicago, so we all know there's a few more Democrats than there are Republicans. But that's something that I think should be across government, regardless of party, regardless of the issue. And it's just hearing this, and I know you're not just saying this because I see it. It's you're walking the walk. It's not about you. It's about we. It's collective, and it's in this attempt to not rush to solutions and prescribe them and listen to the people who are electing you is really incredible. So you're a great leader. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, Shia, for pulling all of that out of the speaker. There's so much more to come and more to hear from you. I hope you'll consider coming back.
Thank you. I accept.
All right. Thank you. Believe me, I will hold you to that. So we will have you back anytime. We hope to have all of you back. We have some great programs this week. Tomorrow, Thursday, we have Dorval Carter from the CTA, and I'm very happy to say that that's sold out, and we have quite a wait list. But seats do open up, by the way. And if you're, depending on, we have a new system based on your membership, we do allow people off that wait list based on things like your level of membership. So you're still welcome if you're make sure you sign up for those sorts of programs like today's that are sold out. Anyway, that's Dorval Carter from the CTAs on this Thursday. September 26th is Rachel Arfa, who is inspiring, and she's amazing. Please come and hear from Rachel Arfa from the Mayor's Office of People with Disabilities. She's got quite a vision that she's going to share. September 30th, Investing in Illinois Innovation. It's with the State Treasurer, Michael Frericks, but also sitting down with Ms. Beschloss, who used to run the World Bank. So that's kind of a treat here to have at City Club. She's an incredible international figure. So we're really got some great programs coming. And as I said, so much of that is due to all of you, our members, our speakers, and others who share these ideas. Please keep them coming. Please keep coming. Please join us for one of these programs or others. And there's so much more to come. Thank you again, Shia. Thank you, Speaker Welch. An honor to have all of you join us today. Have a great summer day, it seems. But keep this weather coming and enjoy your Chicago week. Thanks for being at City Club.